Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Pre-Match Mooty.
What is that?
Don't do that again, bro. What? Come on.
Please, never do that again. It's embarrassing, bro.
Anyway, gents, as you can see, we've got the non-believers in the panel today. We've got Selololo Kale, Nick Stothard, and of course, the ever-pleasant and tolerant Wonga Denga, because he said nothing about my singing. Thank you, Wonga. And to you two, not so thank you. How's it going, Jeff?
We're all good. We're all good, man. Yourself, man. You know, I'm back. Missed Tuesday's show. You know, got some beers. You know, the usual.
Guys, before we continue.
I don't miss a Thursday show. You know that.
Yeah, so on that note, Selo's got 100% attendance record for pre-match Muti. But there's also another special thing to mention tonight. And tonight, guys, is Nick's 50th appearance, my man.
Oh, Nick.
Well done, Nick. Well done. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you to all my fans.
Do you want to say anything? You can say something.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. I mean, you guys have to listen to me bitch and moan about a poor team that I support, but I love it anyway. So you guys have to endure it for another season at least. And already one of my teams is out of the Euros. So I think we obviously synced Newcastle and Scotland like for like. It's good to be the very average panel member on this group, which is very cool.
Look, you say that, but I mean, if we're looking at guys who have teams here, you've got three out of your four teams have made it through. The rest of us, we've only got two teams left. Selo's got Belgium and Italy. No, I've got Portugal and Sweden.
Muto's got 4 out of 4, man. I don't know how.
Yeah, he's got 4 out of 4. But I'm talking about the guys here tonight.
But to be fair,
I do want England to do the job against Germany. So I'm hoping it goes to 2 soon. And I'm sure Czech Republic will go out as well.
And then who will you be left with?
I'll be left with Denmark.
Okay, cool. Let's hope Denmark does the job against Wales then.
Oof, I don't know. Yeah, we'll see.
You don't think so?
Yeah, they should.
Eriksen, man. Want Eriksen, the spirit of Eriksen, to go as far as possible.
But it will be very cool to see all the pants. Yeah, you want to see the bants from Gareth all the way through to the final at least.
Fair enough.
Guys, Selo, you wanted to talk about this. We might as well kick it off. UEFA changing the away goals rule for next season.
Yeah, just quickly, man. I think before we get touch into the Euros, like, what's up with that? You know, I don't understand why we're changing things in football where it, you know, I think there was nothing wrong with the away goals rule. You know, I think an away goals rule, you know, it allows the game, you know, to be played in a competitive manner, and you know, and people say that no, people play defensively and so on away from home and all of that, and they only come out and play at home, but they're still going to do the same thing. They're going to play away from home and save themselves for their home game, you know, where they're playing in front of their fans. So it just means that you're just taking away that benefit of the away goal. But I believe that it's something that was exciting to football. It rewards teams for actually scoring a goal away from home. You score one goal away from home, you need to match my one away goal, or you need to score two if it ends up in a draw. And then you've scored two away goals as opposed to my away goal. So at least it rewards those teams who actually try and score a goal away from home. But they were saying something about fields and technology and VAR, and man, they're just trying to make up excuses, man. I think UEFA's out of ideas. Like a couple of years back, obviously they took away the golden goal rule in the European Championships. Man, leave the away goal, man. I don't know what the rest of you guys think.
Yeah, it kind of kills me because I actually use the away goal rule in my small sided games at training. I actually give the guys teams, and especially when it's Champions League sort of periods, especially the knockout periods, you know, it's such a cool way to get players to sort of change their style of play and put the onus on them, especially in training. So, you know, you're losing 1-0, you know, the team has got an away goal. They just need, you know, a draw at home, you know, then you see the boys sort of expressing themselves in a different way, whereas the other team would probably sit in. So it sort of draws on the certain characteristics that you need from players, you know, being adaptable and that. But from besides the coaching point of it, I find it very exciting. You scored more away goals, and you could potentially go through. You can potentially lose the game on the night and still go through because of a away goal. So I liked it because it was that sense of excitement. I saw, Cello, you had mentioned the golden goal rule. I think it was actually only in the World Cup. Okay. I don't think it was in the Euros, but
it was in the Euros, the golden goal at some point, I think 2000 or before.
Oh, so then it was that period. It was that period then, 1998 to 2000. I think it didn't last long. It didn't last long. Mm-hmm. But there's, so that was exciting for obvious reasons, but there's no, away goal rule now. So there's no different element. It's just an aggregate score really now. So that's true. A little bit sad, I'd say.
It sucks. Yeah, man. And you know, someone was even saying that, when was the last time you found a match that went to penalties in Champions League, guys? It never goes to penalties when there's two legs, and it doesn't go to penalties because of the fact that away goal rule is there. You know, seldomly it goes to extra time. So the matches always end at 90 minutes. So you're saving the legs, but now it's going to be 1-1 there, 0-0 there. And you're now going to go to extra time. Whereas the team that scored their away goal would have went through because they at least scored it would have been 1-1. But now the games are going to be prolonged and, man, it's rubbish, man.
But I think you're hitting the nail on the head there, Cello. I think that's exactly why they want it. When last in the Champions League game or knockout stages do we see penalties? And they want to extend the hours that people are watching football for broadcast reasons. It's just another money-making ploy in my mind. It's a lot of shit. When you're thinking about... Well, if I'm taking my Champions League experience viewing as a fan, a Liverpool fan in particular, the nights that we've had because of the away goals and all the rest of it, I mean, you're completely erasing that from the tournament, which is bizarre. Yeah. And also, if people are going to be changing rules, why don't they just change the rule where players get booked for taking off their tops? Because that's a ridiculous rule after they've celebrated. So why are they changing that? Why are they focusing on the things that are working?
So Dia can have some eye candy, you know what I mean?
Exactly for that. I don't know. Did Dia see Ronaldo take off his shirt the other day? Did she? Just let us know. But Super Brew, Pums, you're right. Super Brew is heating up. Also,
is Cello's getting loud.
So Cello's been getting loud with his predictions there.
Hey, man, I have to get loud with you, Claudio, because you said that Spain will not win. I told you that Spain are going to win. I can't believe that you said Spain are not going to win.
Bro, how was I meant to know that Dubravka was going to play volleyball in his own net against Spain? He literally spiked that thing in there.
But regardless of that, guys, regardless of that, though, they would have lost. They would have got smashed anyway.
Don't come after your Newcastle sucks. Man. He really changed the complexion. He put them under some serious pressure. Their heads dropped after that. They're like, if our main man is doing that, then I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, if they're losing 5-0, you can't blame all of it on the keeper. But I do understand where you're coming from. I think I backed Slovakia as well because of just the position they were in. They literally had a spot booked. They just had to go and put a performance out and, you know, even play for a draw. So it was very, when I saw the score, I was like, sure. And then I saw the highlights. It was a disaster for them.
Wonga. You've been very quiet. Before we start diving into the round of 16 and the fixtures and how they've been played out, what is your overall thoughts so far with regards to Ronaldo's performance in the tournament and in general things, life with Euro 2020?
I think Ronaldo, and I don't only say him, for me, Ronaldo, Zlatan, and there's probably a couple of players, Lewandowski, I think they're pretty much proving to everyone that this notion of people are just done, like this age thing is when he's 30, he's done. I think now that these guys are proving, you know, everyone's different, you know. And I think it's up to the player themselves to obviously prolong his career. And that's why someone like I couldn't understand why someone like Gini Van Halden whatever reason it was, can't get an extension at Liverpool. You know, I mean,
can't get the money. They can't give him the money. Liverpool is a family club. Family clubs are tight on the budget. They don't take they don't take out the money.
Yeah, I see. But you know, things like that. Yeah. I mean, it's also they're not willing to spend that amount on someone his age. And people will say their age. But again, those guys have. They've proved it. I mean, even yesterday with Ronaldo, I was chuckling with my cousin because he stepped up for that penalty. And I was like, these guys are probably just disappointed because they know this is just going to go in the back of the net. Like, there's nothing they can do about it. It's going to be a goal, you know. And you know, everyone calls him Ronaldo, but you've got to put him in the back of the net. And he does it time and time again. You know, and that's the difficult thing to do. So I think big ups to him. Obviously he's doing well, 36. They're through to the next round again, third, not the best third now, but,
Well, yeah, I mean, that's one of the things I want to comment on, guys. He's now officially, it's 14 goals to his name for the all-time Euro goal scorer list. Obviously 109 goals in international football, equaling the other lad, Ali. So he's really up there in terms of goal scoring. But one thing I want to comment in terms of the Euro 2020 in particular, when we're looking at Portugal and history and all the players we've had, your Luís Figos, your Rui Costas, for a player like Ronaldo to do what he's done and have the amount of appearances is also testament to the sides he's played in, because this is like the amount of games he's been able to play. So again, he's scoring goals, which is fantastic, but it also shows you that he's come through at the right time. He's also been able to influence the players around him in the best way to get the most out of them, to keep pushing on in the tournament. So credit for that. But apart from that, gents, it's time we're going to talk about the Euro 16 fixtures or the draw. And the first game we're going to talk about and look into is the Wales-Denmark game. Nick, your team, and obviously Moss is not yet tonight, but his other team. How are we going to unpack this? What do we think? This is the kind of sides of the draw when we're looking at the route to the final. Selor shared with the group. Well, how do you think this is going to play out?
Yeah, it's a tough one to say. I think both teams would be happy with the draw. I think, you know, especially with Denmark's start, you know, obviously very unfortunate circumstances, but also eventually getting through with just the one win. But to end up playing Wales is not a bad shout for them. I think both teams will probably fancy themselves against teams that are probably at the same level. I think the quality of both teams are pretty limited in comparison to, you know, probably the biggest sides in the tournament, but that will obviously spur them on because they both potentially could be dark horses moving forward in the tournament. But I think with the spirit of the whole Eriksen situation, you know, you would maybe say Denmark have the upper hand. You know, they would, I mean, they've got something to play for, let alone a country. They've got a teammate to play for who will be rooting for them. But I'm interested to see what sort of performance the likes of your Ramseys, your Phil Rodens, I think it's Phil Roden. Phil Roden. And obviously Bale put on, because I think if they can get their best players playing well, I think it might be quite a tough assignment for Denmark. But I mean, just looking at Denmark's, form coming into the tournament, it is pretty good. You know, they qualified relatively well, and they've had quite a strong team for the last couple of years. So it will be interesting. I think, you know, getting through this game, will be an achievement. To get to the last eight of the Euros, you know, they would take it. And I think, you know, they are on the easier side of the draw. You've got an inconsistent England. You've got a Germany that is inconsistent themselves. You've got a Netherlands who concedes goals. So that side of the draw is very open. And I think that's how Wales found themselves in the last eight, last four, the last tournament. So I think both teams see this as not a free pass, but, you know, can we get through this game? I think it's a 50-50 contest. I can see it going either way.
Yeah, like what, first of all, before we comment on the game, Arjun saying, you know, stop at £50 million for Ben White to go to Arsenal, or £60 million, never worth that, so stop that. So agree with him there.
It's the English premium, guys. It's the English premium.
That's the thing. It's irritating. I know we digress, but geez, £50 million on Ben White. Like, I'm not saying he's a bad player, but
who played for a team that finished 17th?
Yes. Like, who's buying these players? Where are they looking? They've got their blinders on. Like, Jesus. Oh, goodness me. 50 million. I'm sure you can get someone else.
I think they added another 40 million just because he was called up to the England squad, to be fair.
Probably, yeah.
I think so. That's the worst time to buy now is when these international cups come through because a player will perform well and they'll be like, hey, look at that guy. But yeah,
four games has done amazing. We're gonna now triple his price tag there. Yeah,
has he even come on the field yet? I think he came on for like 5 minutes in the last game.
Did he?
Yeah, not the last game. Sorry, the first game against Croatia. If I'm not mistaken, okay. I think he did come on in the back line.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I can't lie.
Yeah, no, I think yeah, man. Arsenal just are lost, man. I think there's a lot of defenders who are available for decent prices. Doomed. That English premium is going to kill a lot of players, man. Man United have been shot in the past. You know, you pay £80 million for a Harry Maguire who's not worth £80 million. You know, and unfortunately the players then get scrutinized in terms of their play and everything. But they didn't ask for the price tag. But yeah,
Arsenal fans.
John Stones not amounts the same amount.
Yeah, like was he not worth 52, 60, yeah, somewhere in the fifties, yeah. So, you know, he had a rough start at the beginning, but he's come good again. That's what happens. You know, you're a young player, you get a price tag put on you like that, and then it becomes tough. Back to your Denmark and your Wales. Oh man, it's going to be interesting. I think one factor that we also need to consider is the Danish fans will be allowed to travel to Amsterdam. The Welsh fans are not allowed to because of the cases in the UK are higher than in Denmark. So Danish fans, all of them are going to be there that can get a train or whatever, catch a flight to Amsterdam for the game. But the Welsh fans, unless there's Welsh people already in Netherlands, it's obviously going to be a red stadium full of a lot of Danish fans in that stadium. So I think that also might spur them on. You know, if let's say 25,000 Danish people travel all the way from Copenhagen and other parts of Denmark and travel to Netherlands, whereas the Welsh guys, no one's going to be there basically, you know, unless you already live in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, Wonga, anything you want to comment on before we move on to the next game?
No, I think I agree with you on that point. That will be tough for them. I mean, thinking about how COVID has affected everyone already, but now they are not going to be without their fans. They're going to be without their fans plus people opposing them. But yeah, I think in a way, if you think about it, I mean, it's still people in there. Maybe that's all they really want.
The atmosphere.
Watching them. Yeah, I think the atmosphere will be something for them as well. And Gareth Bale, that's the big factor for me.
Wonga's favorite player. Imagine
he was an Arsenal player. I think you'd get a tattoo. You would get a tattoo of Bale on your arm.
He would.
Nah.
He's not denying it.
You'll get his face. You know what? You'll make sure he gets his face there, and it says with him at the speech bubble saying top bins. All right, guys. Italy, Austria, Cyril, this is your team. Obviously, right now, as things stand, one of the favorites for the tournament. We're going to be looking at the route to the final. Definitely the harder between the two sides. But still, Italy. Let's hear it, Cyril. Let's hear your thoughts here.
Yeah, because the winner plays the winner of Portugal and Belgium. So already, it's the next round will be very tough. I'm not saying this round won't be tough. You know, I think Austria have fared quite well. They've got some good players that play at big clubs. You know, your Alabas, your Arnautovic, and other players. You know, so I think that it's going to be a tough game for Italy. Austria is going to be very defensive, trying to stifle them and so on, and try to hit them on the break. But I do think that Italy will prevail. And then Italy's first real test will be Belgium or Portugal in the next round. But I think the Italians will make it through to the quarterfinals. And yeah, I think they've been the most impressive team, you know, in the tournament. In the last game, they had about 7 or 8 changes, basically playing their bench players, and they still did quite well against Wales. So I think that they'll prevail and go to the quarters.
Yeah, man, I think that's a fair assessment. But one thing I've got for you, though, is the fact that they have won, they were hardly tested. They won 3 out of 3. Do we think as soon as they do get a bit of a test, it's going to be tougher? Or do you think because the other sides have come through the groups like a group F? I'm not saying the group F, the group of death. I'm not saying Belgium obviously haven't gone through the same sort of intensity. But a side like Portugal, if they sneak through, does it work in a favor for Italy? Or does it work in favor for Portugal?
I think... Oh, sorry, go for it.
I think it really depends, man. I think it's all about matchups, you know. I think you know, and tactics, you know, the tactics on the day is what matters. You know, the intensity doesn't really matter, because at the end of the day, Italy were playing teams with low blocks firstly, right? Cool.
Yeah.
So now maybe Italy, the only thing they need to make sure is they will be attacked as well. You know what I mean? Whereas yeah. They weren't really attacked much in the other games. You know, they haven't conceded a goal. So now you just need to make sure that your tactics, you attack, but you also need to make sure that you're attacking with caution and not leaving the back line exposed. Because in those previous games, they basically had a formation of 2-1-4 and everyone else up front. You know, basically the centre backs and then Jorginho just in front of them, and then the full backs were right up. Just behind the wingers. So I think, I think it can help a team that they have been in tough games and intense games, and games where they had to be switched on at all times. But also the momentum of winning 3 games is great for Italy. You know, that belief that they can score goals, and they can continue. So if they, for instance, they beat Austria within 90 minutes, that momentum will be great for them. You know, and I think they'll be on a high. Believing that they can continue to beat any team.
I mean, I think for me, just to add on to that, Claudio, I know we've been talking, they haven't conceded in this tournament, but I don't know if you guys are aware, they haven't conceded in 11 games. The last 11 games they haven't conceded. And then furthermore to that, in the last 16 games, they've conceded 2 goals. So since the beginning of 2020 up until now, they haven't they've conceded twice. Once was against Netherlands, and then the other game was against was against Bosnia and Herzegovina. But if you look at it, you know, a lot of people are suggesting maybe they haven't had much resistance. But to go that many games with clean sheets, I don't care who you're playing. That is something to be proud of, and I think that is the foundation that you build. You know, to go on and win a tournament. And you know, when Italy start getting into this groove, they're very hard to beat. And I think the clean sheets speak volumes, because if you're not going to concede, Claudio, you know, we've played with teams where, you know, maybe we would let you have the ball and we just say, well, come try and beat us, try and score. And ultimately, if you can't score, you're not going to lose the game. Or if they can't score, you're not going to lose the game. If you don't concede, you don't lose. And they can score goals. They've got a lot of firepower. They've got the quality. They've got the talent. And I would not like to play Italy right now. Me supporting England all the way through. I hope we find them in the final. Well, we can't find them anywhere else. I actually hope we don't find them in the final, because they look very, very strong.
Yeah, I think just add on Nick's stats that they haven't lost since 2018 even.
When he joined, that's when he joined is when they lost. And after, I think the first few games when they lost.
So I never heard that so long.
No, I was saying, yes, you're right. They haven't lost since 2018, and they only lost when Mancini took over. So I think it was the first few games when he took over. That's when they lost. And then at a certain point, they stopped losing. I think, for instance, like the keeper, he's only 21 years old. He's only conceded 2 goals in about 30 caps or something. Donnarumma. He's only conceded 2 goals in 30 caps, which is ridiculous.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So, looking at that and the confidence they have going into that, I mean, the stats will tell you they're due for a loss. But I don't think that'll come against Austria. And I share the same thoughts as Nick. I wouldn't want to be facing them now. I think they got a lot of confidence, especially in that defense of theirs. I think they'll meet their match with Belgium, because I think Belgium also Their record is second best.
Whoa! What do you mean they'll meet their match? You just assume they're right of Portugal. That's like skipping too many steps there. We haven't even gotten there. Let's take it easy.
I'm saying,
we might as well talk about the next one: Netherlands versus Czech Republic. Yeah, we can talk about next.
Listen, I'm not saying they were going to face them. I'm saying if they were to meet their match, it would be Belgium. That's what I would say, because they've got the second best record compared to they've got the second best record in the tournament.
Again, I'm not hearing any positive side, like positive tune coming from the Portuguese side, but okay, sure. Netherlands, Czech Republic, guys, let's hear this. Wonga, your
Genie
side.
Genie Van Alden. That's Genie, what I got
Genie,
to say about
Genie, Genie, Genie in the bottle.
Genie in the bottle.
You got to rub him the right way, boy. You see, Liverpool, he wasn't rubbed the right way, and that's why he didn't score
But Claudio, it's a different role, I think, as well.
Yeah, of course.
It's because they play a four. Wait, they play a three. You can say 3-4-1-2. You know what I mean? So they got the two guys up front, and Genie's just behind them. You know, so he's encouraged to be that extra body in the box.
Yeah. Well, look, at Liverpool, he's completely selfless. He does the job. He does the job that's asked of him, and that's the engine, the turnover position, keep the ball ticking. When he plays for Netherlands, he clearly steps up and he's allowed to. He makes those late runs into the box, and that's where he gets a lot of his success in scoring for goals and also leading the side. So fair enough. And also, again, like you guys said, give the guy the money. Liverpool didn't give him the money, and now we must go buy Renato Sanchez as the alternative. That's what I'm saying. Wonga, what did you call him?
He's such a family player, this Genie Wijnaldum, man. You know, he just doesn't
fit. He just doesn't.
I think Nick will correct me if I'm wrong, but at Newcastle, Genie Wijnaldum was probably doing this a similar thing, running into the box.
No, he was playing as a 10, yeah.
Getting in there, and you could see that this guy was... Yeah, no disrespect, Nick, but he was probably going to play for
her. He was better than Newcastle.
No, the difference is he had Steve McLaren as his coach, and then he got Jurgen Klopp. So that's why Steve McLaren isn't working in football anymore since Newcastle. So I think that says it all.
Yeah, but I mean, and then again, big ups to the Netherlands people as well. I think people look, Van Dijk, yes, big loss. But you know the team has to move on, and I think they do have good players. I mean throughout the team, and I think Netherlands has been known for that as well. Is that I mean all the players in the team can actually play. They've always been like that, and I think Czech Republic. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy, match.
Guys, they have a goal scorer. Patrick Schick is flipping quality. I was watching him. His movement. He's a big lad. He competes in the air. He's got good feet. He scores goals from halfway lines or before halfway lines.
Yeah, he's already got three goals this tournament.
And you know what's interesting with this matchup, because Czech Republic have goals. Netherlands concede a few goals themselves. They don't look as solid as they would like. I'm sure if they had Van Dijk, it would be probably a different story.
True.
But I mean, I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that Netherlands are going to win this game.
I agree.
Czech Republic created their own chances against England, where they probably could have taken them. They created them against Scotland. They did well against Croatia. So it's not going to be easy because they came out of a pretty difficult group themselves.
Yeah, that's true. I think Czech Republic's group was a difficult one, and they did come out. But Netherlands do, I think they have goals in them. And that's for sure. They do miss a lot. the first game they played.
But my big question, guys, how do they have a Scottish surnamed player in their team? Dumfries. What's going on there? Dumfries is a small town in Scotland. I've got family who live there. I'm like, what's going on here?
Dumfries.
Yeah.
Where's he from? What about the archives? You need to do some historical background checks.
Where does he play? Where does he play?
He plays for PSV.
PSV Eindhoven.
Yeah. It says he was born in Rotterdam.
Ah.
Oh.
Probably with Scottish heritage somewhere.
Czech Republic, yeah. I think, yeah, they organized team. They went to the World Cup final. I think some people probably would have written them off in this one, you know, a tired team saying, but look, I mean, they flew to the next round. And in this one, I would think Netherlands would be, you know, favorites.
Wait, did you say they went to the World Cup final?
I heard that too, but I maybe meant final.
Was it not semi? Like,
you know, he went to the final. Oh,
yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Who?
Was it not?
Czech. No, they didn't.
Oh, no. I'm thinking of Croatia. Sorry. My bad. I'm thinking of Croatia. Sorry, guys.
This guy. Yo.
Bro, put your head in the freezer.
Yeah, that's been a long day. But no, I think Netherlands would definitely be favorites coming out of this one. But they're not, it's not going to be a walkover. It definitely won't be a walkover.
Where are they playing the game? Is it in Copenhagen?
No, it's in Budapest.
Okay.
But looking at what happened with, we'll get there, I know, but yesterday's game with Germany and Hungary, it kind of like showed you that, you know, I don't think anything is pretty straightforward in this tournament.
Was exciting. It was exciting things.
Yeah, it was.
But let's talk about kind of what happened yesterday a little bit and where now Portugal find themselves in terms of taking on Cyril's other side, Belgium. Guys, this is arguably one of the tastier games of this round 16. How do we think this is going to play out? We've got obviously Ronaldo on 5 goals. We've got Lukaku who's been scoring. I think he scored something like 24 goals in 21 games for Belgium, which is also a ridiculous stat. And when you look in his international career, it's roughly more or less exactly or identical to Ronaldo, you know, Brazilian one. So I also want to talk about how underestimated he is to a large extent. People like Mosa don't want him back at Chelsea, but I think if a player like that goes back to the Premier League, any side he goes to, he transforms. So
yeah, the man's matured, man. I think he's definitely a better player. He had a question and answer session yesterday on Twitter, just before the 9 o'clock games. And people were criticizing him and saying, you know, someone asked him, for instance, said, hey, man, listen, you've got a bad first touch and everything, whatever. He's like,
but he does.
Hey, man. He's like, listen, do you think I'd be a professional footballer if I had a bad first touch? You know? And he spoke about the whole thing about playing with his back to goal and everything. And he said, no, listen, like, I like to have the ball in front of me, you know?
Yeah, of course.
Because I've got pace and I got physicality. So I can, if your player's trying to tackle me, I can, you know, push them out of the, like shield them and run. So he says that that's the nice thing with Antonio Conte is that Antonio Conte was playing to those strengths, you know, where the balls were being played behind, almost like behind the defenders type of thing. So he can make a run type of thing, you know. So he says, you know, he loved that aspect about Antonio Conte and so on. And I think, and it brings back to, maybe why at United things didn't go for well for him is that maybe Solskjaer was expecting other things for him. You know what I mean? You know, Solskjaer does like that. I don't know, like that whole, you hold up the ball, you bring in the other players in type of thing. Whereas Lukaku just play the ball over. The man's going to run, bulldoze everyone. There's even a video that he shows actually. There's a video. I don't know why Carragher was wearing an Everton sweater. So it's like a training ground and it's Lukaku and Carragher. And then Carragher, they're talking while you're still at Everton and says, and then Lukaku says, if you pass me the ball to the one side, what's going to happen? I'm going to just shield you and you won't take the ball from me. You won't take the ball from me, you know? And he was just saying like, then they play the ball in and then Carragher's trying to mark him and he just shields Carragher and then he shoots. And then they show like a little clip of a game in the Premier League where there was a throw in and someone passes the ball and he does the same thing, you know, and that's what Lukaku wants. Play on the last defender, shield them and he scores.
Yeah. And I mean, going back to the Everton days, I think the Everton days are a clear testament. Everton would sit deeper and play the ball in behind and he would get onto that. And that's when he had arguably his most successful spell in terms of goal returns. Yes, Wonga.
I think, yeah, just to, correct Solo slightly. It's just what Lukaku was saying is that if a defender comes close to him, it's late for him. So if he comes that close to him, it's late for him because he'll just turn him. Yeah. And then he showed Carragher how he turns him. But with that being said, like Lukaku, and that's the thing. I think people like like at Man United, they always wanted him to play like that. But Lukaku would only do that, you know, like if the situation came. But it's not something that you force, you know, that you, okay, now we have to wait for the defender to come. But he likes, you can see, he definitely likes the balls play behind him. He likes to run forward. At Inter Milan, even now for Belgium as well, you can see it. He gets the ball and he runs forward. At Inter Milan, he scored many goals. Like there was one goal he scored, I think you could say it was on the halfway line, where he got the ball on the halfway line. He ran straight. Maybe turned slightly, but ran dead straight, left, finish. With Belgium, he did almost the same thing in I think it was the first game, ran straight, right foot, finish. And that's Lukaku. And I don't know where this thing of him coming, Man United, I think he had a bad spell, and there were times of bad touches, but I don't think you can say that's him anymore, especially the way he's been playing at Inter Milan. And the numbers show you that he's scoring goals, but he's getting the goals, so.
Yeah, valid point. I do want to say Arjun got vaccinated today, so congrats, Arjun. That's super rad.
I just said my mom, actually.
Oh, well done. Oh, this is tough hard. Good job. Hey. Okay.
Good. My mom got vaccinated yesterday.
Oh, Mrs. Khan.
It's a party.
It's a party. It's a listen party.
guys, I want to touch on the fact. You guys are talking about Bolton, yeah?
No, Claudia, I see what this DS is. They're sitting in their dorm room watching us while they're eating lunch, which is pretty cool. So it's their lunch break. But you were saying about, I think what you were saying about Wijnaldum or saying Portugal.
No, I was saying Portugal now because we touched on Belgium. Looking at the Portuguese setup yesterday, I was super chuffed. I know Sel always thinks when I say things, anything about a United player, there's some sort of conspiracy and United rhetoric.
There's nothing is that a penalty though?
I watched the show back on Tuesday, right? Yeah. And I think there is nothing wrong with you criticizing Bruno Fernandes. There's nothing wrong. It's perfect, you know. Fernandes.
I wasn't criticizing.
I like the commentator also yesterday. It's like Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah.
I was saying that. What about Jota in the first game? I heard nothing about Jota in the first game. You criticize him all you want because if he's not having a good tournament, he's not having a good tournament. That's facts.
I want to talk about that because fair enough. Like when I was watching that game, everyone was critiquing Jota, but overall for me, I wasn't critiquing Fernandes for him having a bad performance. I was asking the question when we're looking at direct comparison in terms of what you're offering the side, a Jota versus a Fernandes, it's industry versus talent. That's fair enough. Jota, you can, when you got a player of industry, and Nick can correct me wrong, and Wonga can as a coach. If I'm a coach going to tournaments and I've got a player of industry, he might not be in the best of form, but I can trust him to track back and do the basics in terms of a defensive job. Because you've got Ronaldo up there. He's meant to stick it away. If you've got a player where you've got a talented player like Fernandes, and then you've got Ronaldo, those are two match-winning players, but they don't offer the same sort of industry output. So you're carrying two players, and that's what I was saying. Is it viable to have both on from the onset when you're taking on bigger sides? And that was my question or thought process. And I was very impressed with Fernandes. Sanchez, the dinosaur, decided to go back to the drawing board and he made the changes that I said, bring on Sanchez. We had all of a sudden, we had energy. Moutinho, by the way, I was so impressed with that because I actually thought when he brought him on the other day, I just thought I couldn't understand why he had done that. But all of a sudden, Bernard Silva, who's had a shit tournament so far, looked like a fantastic player because he had movement around him. When you've got Fernandes and you've got Ronaldo, they're quite static down the middle. And then you've got the two holding in Danilo and Carvalho. They're very static. So a player like Silva who feeds off movement, all of a sudden becomes
that free kick. Can we talk about that free kick, guys? Oh, did you see that free kick from Bernardo Silva, guys? How can a professional take such a bad free kick?
Oh, yeah.
That free kick went like, it went to the top tier of the stadium, bro.
That was bad.
Bernardo.
I couldn't believe
Bernardo. Bernardo.
Bernardo.
But I agree with you, Claudio.
Am I getting it right, Claudio? Bernardo.
Yeah, you're doing nice. You're doing nice.
I agree with you in that sense, Claudio. Because I saw Portugal yesterday, you could see, and I mean, other match, you can, Ronaldo is not going to be running for you all the time. He's just going to be there when he needs to be there, or maybe take a shot when he needs to take a shot. But yeah, definitely not going to move around. And you, I agree with you, you can't be carrying. You can't be carrying the two. You definitely can't be carrying the two. It maybe it has to work in a different way, but yo, that it's the two of them with like yesterday, a lot of energy from Portugal. And yeah, I just don't think it's a tough one because he's a good player. But
you know, in terms of the two teams, you know, your Belgium and your Portugal, I think what Portugal will have in terms of the upper hand, maybe, you know, on paper, Belgium are probably the better team if you would maybe look at stats and over the last couple of years. But what Portugal do have and what a lot of the Italians have as well is this sort of desire to win, even when everything's maybe stacked up against you. And I don't think Belgium have that. I think they will die for each other, the Portuguese. They'll die to win the tournament. They'll fight tooth and nail until the final whistle, until they're knocked out or until they lift the trophy. And I think that's something that's potentially lacking in a Belgium team where they've got a load of talent. They've got a very good team. And I probably agree with what Claudio said in the last show. I don't know if Martinez is the right man to potentially take them on, to lift a trophy. But I think that sort of character that the Portuguese show, you know, I saw, Pepe and Ronaldo talking at some stage yesterday and you could see they were animated. They were, you know, they would, I think they had realized that Hungary had ended up drawing the game. And I think there's just that sense of pride that they have, that I think Portugal will always have, because I think it's instilled in them as a nation. And I think that could maybe be the difference. You know, if it comes down to who wants it more, I could probably tell you, I would say the Portuguese would want it more if you had to just, you know, if I had to get asked that question off the bat. And obviously, you know, Portugal do have their ability as well. They can go and play well. So it's not going to be an easy game, but I think in terms of guts, determination, fighting for their nation, I think Portugal might have that hand.
Claudio, I wanted to ask, what do you think about the centre-back partnership of Portugal? Because I think it's been a bit leaky in the last two games. If Mbappe took the chance that was created for him, like the passes, the balls are just getting passed. You know, obviously, Germany was killing them on the sides, the defence, but France is going through them, you know, exposing the centre-back partnership. What do you think? Do you think Jose Font should be coming in?
Look, I do think when we're looking at a Pepe, the form that he had carrying into this tournament, he deserves it from a form base. Not saying, obviously, the other lad won the league with Lille, so he also deserves it. But at the same time, right now, I'm putting my faith in the experience of a Pepe because just international caps got a lot more. And I think Diaz is the right partnership. I'm happy with the partnership. The issue I have, especially with the game yesterday, and I've mentioned this before, is a Semedo. Not that he's a terrible player going forward, but defensively, he's not great. And there's a lot more help that is needed. So we're talking about, they cut through the middle yesterday, but they cut through the middle because there's a lot of focus on helping Semedo out yesterday. From off the bat, they were doubling up with Semedo to help him. So, and every time France looked dangerous yesterday, it was because they were playing diagonals that side towards the right-hand side because they knew there was a moment, there was exposure then. Cancelo getting injured was a bit of a downfall. So, I mean, I know the focus is between the two centre-backs, but I actually think we're fine there. I just think it's from the right-hand side. And the Germans exploited us as well. When they got the ball wide, it was change of play. They got the ball wide and they hit the back post every time because defensively, you can knock a ball over Semedo's head every time. You know he's not going to win the ball because he doesn't know how to win the ball in the air and he waits for it to bounce. And as soon as you're letting that thing go over your head, anyone sneaks in from behind. And that's been the danger against Germany. And again, we saw it yesterday. So that's the big concern. And when we're playing, luckily, when we're playing a side like Belgium, they've got a target man in the sense of a Lukaku. The Germans, they had to play wide because they had multiple players. Yesterday, they had two players in Benzema and Mbappe. Luckily, I think with Lukaku, with one focal point, it becomes easier to manage. So it's going to be interesting as to whether or not he plays. I know you're saying you're making noises there, Wonga, but it's going to be interesting if he plays two holding midfielders or he did what he did yesterday and we have more dynamism instead of having Sanchez as well as the other two lads. But we've spoken a bit about Portugal, guys. We've still got a couple of other games to cover. The next one is Croatia.
Now we're to give them love, man. I think it's totally fair.
You know what's funny? If you look at the sides of the draw, it's literally wine versus beer. So the one side of the draw is where you generally find your wine, And then you've got your beer drinkers.
Italy.
So France is the wine side, on the wine side, and Italy is the wine side.
Yeah, and then you look at the other side as the Germans, the English, the Dutch. Who else is on that side?
Czech Republic.
Yeah, Netherlands.
Czech Republic.
They drink Pilsner and Quell. Yeah.
I thought that was quite funny. Wine versus beer.
Well done.
But the Germans and English are together there.
Yeah.
Well, who wants to kick this one off? Because both sides are represented by the two gents who aren't here this evening. I mean, Spain finally settled. You were backing them to come through against Slovakia. They got their five goals. Croatia, as old bones, Modric got them through as well. So it's going to be a tricky one.
I think, man, if you look at it, man, I think with Spain, they just had to click. It's like Germany scoring those four goals against Portugal. You know, they had to eventually get that victory. And that's what I felt is that it's not like they didn't create chances. You know, they missed the penalty, in the 1-1 draw against, in Poland. You know, I think so they had the chances, multiple chances against Sweden as well. So I just felt that they were going to get through. But this game will be tough for them, because I think obviously Croatia, you know, the confidence boost from the game against, Scotland, they played very well against Scotland. Modric showing his class again. The assist and the goal. It's going to be a tough one, but I could see this going to penalties. Definitely, I think they could cancel each other out. Maybe a 1-1 even.
Yeah, I think I possibly agree because I think both teams have frailties at the back. If I don't know if any of you watched the Scotland game, but Scotland had two very good chances: one to go in the lead, to go 1-0 up, and then also, as the second half started, they had a great chance with McGinn at the back post, and Scotland found chances in between the lines, the sort of vertical lines between fullbacks and centre backs, and the centre backs as well as the sort of fullbacks as well. take it easy. I think if you're playing against a team like Spain, you know, obviously they've got better quality than Scotland. I personally think if Scotland had scored that goal, it might have been a different game. But when Croatia turned it on, they really did turn it on, and they moved the ball really well, and they play a very similar brand of football to what a Spain does play. So it's going to be interesting to see, and I could actually see a few goals because I think both teams have frailties at the back. And it should actually be quite an exciting game. The likes of Perisic and Modric pulling the strings for Croatian side against a newly invigorated Spanish with Morata missing a penalty.
Good old Morata. When he retires, if people just, it's similar to, is it Giroud or something? But Giroud, I'm saying if you look at Morata's, can you guys hear me?
You guys can
continue there. I don't know. Can you hear me now?
Yo, can you?
Yeah.
We're waiting for you, Tim Morata.
Your fans can hear you, bro.
Yeah, we can hear you, bro.
Oh, sweet.
Say hello to your fans. Say hello to your fans.
I was saying if Morata retired tomorrow, people would all think and look at his history and be like, geez, this guy was one hell of a player looking at the clubs he played for.
Best agent in football.
Best agent in football, guys. But I always say, guys, the same thing. If a player is moving around a lot, what does that mean? That means the club that he's at doesn't want to keep him. It is willing to let him go. Real Madrid were willing to let him go to Juventus. Then he had a very good spell at Juventus with Allegri. That's where I think he was doing well. And then Chelsea bought him from Madrid. Like, he went back to Real Madrid and then went to Chelsea. And then from Chelsea to Atleti. You know what I mean? So for me, it just shows that he's never been consistent. I think only time he's ever been consistent was at Juventus under Allegri.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Consistently bad.
Guys, France, Switzerland, the neighbors are taking on each other. It's going to be a French affair. What do we think is going to happen here, Wonga? And obviously, Pogba, talking about renewing contracts, the man's been inspired for France. He always is. It's just not the same when he plays for United.
Yeah, look.
Don't start, Celo, please.
I'm not trying to have a dig. I'm genuinely like, when I watched him play last night, I'm like, geez, this, like, if it wasn't for him yesterday, France were okay. But he was the one. Was the one didn't make things happening, yeah.
You know, you're looking at the way the tournament is set up. Yeah, Nick would probably know it more than me as a coach as well. It's, you know, the group stage is obviously different to the round of 16. And then Portugal also winning the Euro last time probably proved that as well. Not doing well in the group stage is getting out and doing well in the next round. But Switzerland, don't think they've had much, you know, happen in the past for them. Even now, it's pretty much, I think everyone called it Wales was going to be a tight one, and it was a tight one. They ended up 1-1. Then, who else did they have to play? They played Italy, the toughest, team in their group, and they got hammered. They were nowhere to be found. The next game, they get Turkey, the weakest team in the group, Turkey was giving free points to everyone. And, Switzerland just picked up their three points there. And I'm coming against France.
You sound disappointed by that, even though this is your team you're meant to be supporting. Are you guys hearing that? He's like, yeah, they picked up their points. Shit. Shaka.
Look, I think they're done. I think it's done for them. France, they probably have a big point to prove. They want to try and win this, especially what happened the last time. All their players, the attack they have, there's no ways. I can't see Switzerland unless
Shaqiri, bro.
What's he gonna do? What's Shaqiri gonna do?
He's gonna hit. He's gonna hit a thunderbolt. He's gonna hit a thunderbolt with those calves, bro.
I agree with Wonga though. They've actually, if you look at their tournament, they've actually hit a bit of a blip. They won their first game against Germany and they've drawn their next two. So, are they going to have to try and get back to winning ways, you know?
Yeah, true.
And I think they must be delighted with getting Switzerland. I think if they had finished second, I think they would be kicking themselves because then they would end up having to play England. But I think this is the perfect draw for them to get back on track. With the quality that they have, probably score a couple of goals and see who's next for them.
Yeah.
Oh, steam the big one. The biggest one.
The old foes. The old foes. England versus Germany. I mean, on paper, we'd be saying, you know, Germany are going to run riot here, but it's not a clear cut, is it? This is going to be a tricky game.
Run riot?
In the past.
In the past.
Are you talking on paper without looking at squads?
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Okay.
That's what I'm meaning. I'm saying now it's a different sort of scenario. But both teams, I mean, England have only scored two goals this tournament. Germany have been all over the place, completely erratic. Yeah, they did the business against Portugal, but at the same time struggled against Hungary. They didn't get the results against France.
Oh,
these are all psychological blows.
Can we talk about that? I was watching the last 7 minutes and I'm like, Hungary are actually going to do it. And England are going to get hungry in the next round. I was delighted. And then they bang that goal in right at the end. It was bizarre. I mean, imagine Hungary knocking out Germany. And then at one point when that, I changed over to the other game. If France had to score one more goal, Portugal were out.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
No, there was a stage where Portugal were going
out. Yesterday. Yeah. That's when Hungary were winning 2-1.
And France were winning 2-1. Yeah.
And France were winning 2-1. They were out. Yeah.
I got a friend who actually, he put a bet for teams, and I think it was 2 days ago. No, the day. So the page yesterday, I think it was on Monday. He has one more team to, he had one more team to win his bet. And he could have cashed out, and the one team to win was Germany. And he asked us, should he leave it to carry on? And we advised him, right? We told him, look, Germany, they're probably most likely going to win, but in the odd case, I mean, he's hungry. I've got a lot to play for also, you know. So, but we advised him to take the money.
And yeah, he ended up
saving himself $2,000 instead of losing it over 500.
Yeah.
That was the funny thing for us. But yeah.
Good advice. Is that you saying, telling all our viewers, listen to Wonga because he's got some good advice to give.
Nick, can I ask you something, man? What do you feel about the fact that, I don't know, man, I've been reading a lot on Twitter, the English media like to portray Jack Grealish in a certain way, that he's not a hard worker on the field. And I saw like some stupid journalist saying that reasons why Jack Grealish shouldn't start against Germany. And I couldn't believe it. He said that Jack Grealish doesn't defend, you know, doesn't track back. And in the game against Germany, you need players that track back.
Jack Grealish, Bukayo Saka was incredible on the night as well, but I thought Jack Grealish was running the match for me. They took him off early, but I thought he was a magician. He was catching the ball, flipping out of the sky there. His feet were so good. He retains the ball so well, and he earns the team so many set pieces. I think last season he was the most fouled player in the league.
Yeah.
And if you actually just watch him, he's just so intelligent. I mean, he gets the ball and he moves the ball from one foot to the other just so he can get contact. And listen, whether you like it or not, he's a talented boy. I think he gave England that bit of energy, although it came in bits and pieces for the team in general. But I would like England to start with him. I would like England to start with Sancho. I personally think that Henderson is more than likely going to come in against the Germany. Because for him to come onto the field, I said straight away to my father, I said, this is Southgate preparing Henderson. I still don't think England need to play with two holding midfielders. I still don't understand why. I would rather go with a Rice or a Calvin Phillips, one of the two. If it's going to be Henderson, you have a Henderson, then you take the other two out. And then I would go with a Mount and a Grealish and then unleash the front three. I think Phil Foden was very unlucky to not be on the field. I don't know why. I thought he was the best player in the previous game.
I said the yellow card.
Did they say that?
They were saving him because if he got a yellow card, you would miss the last 16.
Okay, well, that's fair enough. But then I personally would like to see Foden, Sancho, and Kane. I think there's enough. But again, if you look at how Saka played, you know, maybe you don't. Maybe you keep Sancho on the bench. But I don't know if Sancho is seeing Southgate's daughter or something, because he doesn't seem too happy.
He got 8 minutes. Imagine 8 minutes of game time only so far in the tournament. It's ridiculous. It's the thing I said. The guy, the article that snippets that came out from him saying that, you know, I don't want to put too much pressure on Sancho at the international stage. He's still inexperienced. Sharp. Cool. Let's park that.
Jude Bellingham comes onto the field twice already.
Saka has fewer caps. Foden and Saka are basically 19 and 20 years old, and Sancho is 21. Been playing at a higher level for longer. Mm.
Yes.
But you want to protect. I don't understand what you mean.
Jude Bellingham.
Look at Jude Bellingham.
It gives him more
time. He's 17 and he's been playing more. What I can tell you is every England team that I predict is never going to be right, because Southgate is a conservative manager and he's going to be even more conservative against a Germany that move the ball very well.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if you see a Rice and a Henderson next to each other. I think Calvin Phillips will be sacrificed. I think those are his tried and tested. I think Calvin Phillips was just filling a gap. I thought Calvin Phillips has had a great tournament thus far, though. Sterling will definitely start. Sterling's the only one who scored goals. So you more than likely will see a Sterling and probably Foden. It's probably going to be a very similar lineup to the first game, with Henderson probably slotted in, or he will bring Henderson in to try and shore up the midfield if they are winning. if he feels that he's not ready yet. I like what he's done with Shaw. I think he's been really good. I think he makes a big difference, and I'm happy with Walker on the right. I think Walker's fine. I think Walker's okay. I think he gives a good option going forward. He's a bit susceptible at the back, but I think Harry Maguire probably fixes that hole. He's but he's better than Mings. I think he's better than Tyron Mings, to be honest. Mings is better. Listen, the team, if you look at the squad, they have an incredible squad in terms of man-for-man talent. Whether or not they can get it together, whether or not Gareth Southgate is the man to take them on to be a tournament winner, I don't know. I don't see it, but listen, I'll support them all the way.
Yesterday, the one thing I did enjoy yesterday, and this from the German side, was when they were put under pressure, you know, they were 2-1 down, time running out. I haven't seen him play like that in a while. It was Toni Kroos. He was literally picking the ball like he would. I mean, if you watch him play for Madrid, he's not really trying to get in the box as much. But when yesterday against Hungary, when you could see, like, look, if we don't score, we're out. It's game over for me. And you could see, like, this is probably his knock. I might not have another tournament after this. You know, this is, you could actually see he was playing with that in his head. And he was literally, I mean, you saw the opportunity that he got where he just missed it. And it started there. He was literally trying to do things himself. And oh no, it was entertaining for me to watch. I hadn't seen him play like that in a long time.
Did you see the lighty that Germany brought on there, Wongo, right at the end? He was the one who actually set up the goal.
Yes, I saw that one.
He plays for Bayern Munich. Yes.
The
English kid. Bro, he could, yeah, he chose to play. He's 18. It just shows you what Germany are doing in terms of their youth structures. But that kid literally received the ball. I think it was his like second or third involvement of the game. And he literally just, it's like a reverse pass into the box. It was incredible. Like it was probably the second assist, or the, not the first assist of the goal. It was the second assist. I don't think he actually passed the ball to the goal scorer, but it was an incredible pass. Just, I thought to have that like sort of, arrogance to sort of run down the line and pull a pass back like that, I thought was incredible. So the German side is very exciting in their own right because it is a very fresh, new sort of outlook in terms of how they're going forward, especially with the manager going out. You know, they've got things to prove, probably for the incoming manager for a World Cup around the corner. Just going back to England, I think, seeing what Jason commented there, I think Grealish doesn't even get a sniff in the next game. I think it's going to be Mount again, and it will be two holding midfielders. Mount's back.
What do you think about what Arjun says there about will they go back to a back five? Because they have played a back five previously. Because Germany are playing also a back five right now. Germany are playing a back five right now, so they're playing Kimmich and Gustens as wing backs.
I mean, to be fair, they did it their last game against Czech. They did it in times. They didn't do it as a fixed sort of back five, three. But what they did do was they had one of the holding midfielders dropping between all the time.
Phillips or Rice,
So they did kind of do that. So it wouldn't surprise me if he did revert to that. But imagine he did do that. I mean, imagine he did do that and they ended up losing. I mean, they'd be pissed off. I think the English are at a point with they'd rather have them go for it and get walloped than just sit back and be like, ah. So I think that's where the public's at. They go, do we go after the victory that we can try and get and lose, or do we go for entertaining and you know, like that's where they're at right now.
If you're gonna go with a back five or a back three, however way you want to look at it, if it's for an offensive reason to try and get better service towards a Kane, who, by the way, has looked so lethargic and out of it. He just looks
like... Why doesn't Calvert-Lewin get some minutes?
I don't know. But other than that, I feel sorry for him because I'd love him to score because I think once he does start scoring, he might just not stop. But he's just, it just seems like it's not clicking with whatever front three he plays with. So if they play with a back three or a back five and essentially he gives freedom to his fullbacks to go all the way up the pitch, then maybe. But he's played with – he changed his fullbacks twice already, and he wanted them to go further forward, and they really haven't. So what's really going to change if they go the three? I don't see it, because they did do it at times. But I wouldn't change too much, to be honest with you, defensively, because they haven't conceded. They haven't conceded in, I think, 5 or 6 games. So why would you change the four? I know he has done it in the past, but I don't know. I wouldn't, personally.
Right. Yeah. And on that note, Nick, on that note, it's time for our betting corner, our predictions.
You Ukraine and Sweden will get love.
Oh, they're doing our predictions. I mean, Sweden. Sweden have been doing the thing, guys. They've been doing the thing, but they haven't been doing it convincingly. They've got Frosberg there. He's been doing the. They're my other side, guys. So take should be happy.
That is a dream draw for both of those teams. They're like, thank God we got those teams. You got Next Germany and England playing each other. But you got Germany and England playing each other.
Looking each other
out,
yeah.
Why the hell can't we? And then you've got like Belgium and Portugal playing each other. It's like, come on, guys.
True.
I suppose, I mean, whoever comes to England, Germany will play one of those two. Netherlands will play either Netherlands. I'm assuming Netherlands, Czech will play either, well, it's Wales or Denmark. So from there, that's like you said, the beer side, it's a decent side. The beer garden's a happy place. All right, guys, the betting corner, we're going to kick off with Italy, Austria. We're going to go Silo, Wanga, Nick, and then we're going to move on. Okay, you guys ready? First one, Italy, Austria.
2-0 to the Azzurri.
I say 3-0 to them.
I think 2-0 as well. I think they're not conceding against an Austrian team that hasn't been impressive for me. 2-0. Claudia?
Yeah, 2-0. 2-0 sounds good. Like you guys mentioned, the clean sheets. Mancini knows what he's doing there with the Azzurri. They're happy, happy side at the moment.
They look so smart though on the side of the field. Guys, best dressed team.
That blazer. And apparently,
he just flipped it across his
like at a press conference. He's just like,
but did you see him before. Also? Did you see him also? I think a ball came over and then he controlled the back of his foot. I was like, oh, this guy. He's wearing this suit and he's controlling the ball, catching it from the sky there. come on. The man's too slick.
Keep an eye on Pumalani's predictions here for Super Brew so we know where he's at and how we can try and catch him. Okay?
Is he winning at the moment?
No, he's doing all right. Silo has actually had a good one. Had a good round this round, eh, Silo? That's why you're getting loud. You found your voice.
Nah, yesterday was poor. Yesterday was poor.
I missed four games.
Ah, damn, Nick. Coach, come on.
All right, next one. Wales versus Denmark.
Oof, this is tough.
I think it's going to be, in regulation time, it's going to be a draw. I think that Denmark will nick it in extra time. I just have a feeling that Denmark will nick it in extra time.
Wanga's looking for help there.
He's looking for his notes.
Just copy what Celo said. Not going first.
Go stick to original formula.
I think Wales will take it 1-0. I think Wales will take it 1-0.
Gareth Baleful top bins there from Wanga. Nick.
I think it's gonna be a draw. I think there's gonna be goals. 2-2, and then I think Gareth Bale will score the winning penalty.
I'm going with 1-0 victory to Denmark, just because I think they've got the momentum, they've got the good vibe going. I think the Walsh are taking the piss too much, and I think the Danes wanted more. To be honest,
I just want to see more team photos that are outrageously funny.
Yeah, they're going to do that. 2-7-1-8.
Oh god!
Right, Netherlands, Czech Republic, Wanga, your side. Will you still have a side in this tournament after this? That's the question, Silo.
Yeah, I say 2-1 to the Netherlands.
Yeah, I say 3-1 to Netherlands.
Ooh.
Guys, I think Czech Republic is going to win this 2-1. I just have a feeling. I don't see. I think Netherlands are shaky. I think that coach they have also I think that you see, Arjun agrees with me. I just think they had a, I'm not going to say an easy group, but I don't think their group was as challenging as it would, like it would have been, if they were in another group. And I think Czech Republic made it difficult against every team they've played this tournament. They drew to, Croatia. They beat Scotland and they lost 1-0 to England at Wembley. Like, that's not any shame. And they're not playing in Amsterdam. So there'll be Czech fans in Budapest.
Yeah, man, I'm with you. Yeah. I think they've got a, look, Genie Van Holden's also scored 3 goals. So that there's, I think there are going to be some goals there, but I think it's going to be a 1-goal difference in the end, as these sort of knockout games tend to be a lot tighter. There's a lot more on the line, but I think it's going to be a 3-2 victory to the Czech Republic. And also, like Arjun says, the ball is shit. And look, Pumalani also saying Czech 1-0. So, I mean, there's 3
of us sleeping here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Wonga, your team is going, boy.
We're going. We're definitely going further than this.
All right, Silo, there's the big one. Belgium versus Portugal.
Sorry, your road ends here, brother. Sorry, man.
Hey.
Sorry. 2-1 to Belgium. Sorry, brother.
I like that. I like the fact that you say that, because I know for a fact that the Portuguese do better when they're underdogs. So keep it going. Wonga, let's hear it.
Yeah, just keeping that in mind, what Claudio said, because of what especially what's happened in
Keep it in mind, what Claudio said. The wise words of Wonga.
Let's go, Wonga. Let's hear it.
It's not easy because, you know, like again, Portugal came third. They did the same thing in the last Euro, but again, they've conceded so many goals, but they've played good teams and now they're playing another good team. I think Belgium know that they can get the goals in here. The question is, will they keep a clean sheet? So I will give it, a 2-1 to Belgium.
Pobladi's saying big bums is out. that guy can't stay fit, bro. It's actually good if he doesn't play.
Guys, yeah. I see.
So wait, Claudia, Bobby, who did you say? Wait, sorry, Nick, I didn't know.
I said Belgium.
2-1 to Belgium.
Yeah. This man smoking, you know, yeah, that cap is clearly stopping the blood circulation to your head. Let's go, Nick.
I think, and it actually worries me a little bit, but I do think Portugal will have the better of Belgium. I think they will psychologically have the edge. Not necessarily the best team on the field, but I think they'll be up for it. I think this is when Portugal's tournaments generally start, is now.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be ugly. You might even get a penalty that's not a penalty. Like, it's going to be controversial, but you'll end up winning.
The opening goal is going to be another Ronaldo penalty. That's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
Ronaldo.
I think there'll be a red card somewhere, because I think like a player from Belgium will get frustrated. And then, yeah, I think you'll win 2-1.
That's another valid point, is when it comes to those sort of mind games, we've got Pepe, we've got Ronaldo, these guys know what to be doing. The Portuguese know how to get under the skin of other sides. And
I don't necessarily like it, Claudio, but I'm just saying it's going to happen.
I'm not saying it's a good thing, but I'm saying, well, it's a good thing for viewers, but it's definitely a psychological part of the game that can
Claudio only likes it when Portugal does it. When Liverpool does it, he doesn't like it, because he's like,
because they're a family club, bro.
Family club. That's what I say, family club.
Portugal a family nation?
It's not.
We are family nation. What's wrong with you, man? No, but I will say this. As Portuguese, we do what it, you know, Suarez-esque, we do what it takes to win. That's what you got to do. So I'm going to go with a 1-goal difference.
I was going to say three.
Screw it. I'm going to say 3-1 Portugal. Let's do this. Ronaldo's going to keep the golden boot. It's coming. The golden boot's coming home, boy. That's what it's doing. All right, guys.
If Portugal gets to a final and he goes off injured again, do you think he cries again at the age of 34?
He has to.
He's actually 36.
36. I'd love to put money on that. Would there be odds for that? That would be incredible.
We should speak to the bookies now. All right, Croatia, yeah. Spain. Guys, I know who I'm backing here. Silo, who are you going for?
You remember what I said when I said initially, this goes to penalties. It's going to be a draw, and I'm going to go to penalties. I'm trying to think of who's Croatia's keeper. I don't even know his name. And then Unai Simon. Yeah, I think Spain don't know how to take penalties, so Croatia's going to win on penalties.
I say 1-0 to Croatia full time.
Yeah. I think there's going to be goals. I think Croatia 3-2.
3-2. I think Croatia are going to win this. I think it's going to be 2-0 Croatia. That's it. It's going to be... Oh, look, Pumalani agrees. 2-0 as well. Super Peru, we're going to be getting points there, Pums. That's what I think. Okay. France, Switzerland, the French are taking on the other French-speaking peoples. Let's hear it. What's going to go on? Yeah, Pogba going to do the thing because he's got Kante behind him.
Yeah, 2-0 to France. Yeah, they're gonna they've got a couple of injuries left back, but yeah, I think they're gonna do it. Benzema's got some goals in them. Mbappe hasn't scored yet, but 2-0 to France. Arjun agrees.
3-0. 3-0 to France.
Yeah. You dropped off your own side there.
I think they're gonna concede. I think 3-1 France.
I think this might be an upset. Yeah. when I say upset, I mean France is still gonna win, but I think it's not gonna be as easy as what we are saying here. I think the Swiss are gonna make it a bit difficult, and it's gonna be like a 1-0 victory right at the end for France. They're gonna make them work hard for it, in my mind. But the other big game of this round, the one that Nick is somewhat at odds with, even though he isn't, England versus Germany. Germany, I mean, his side here is Germany, but he's an English fan. So, Silo, what's going to play it out for Nick? How's this going to play out here?
England doesn't have a manager that inspires. And that is the problem for me. The manager doesn't inspire me. And because of that,
Joachim Löw inspires you with his fingers.
He inspires me because his fingers go somewhere. And he just goes, yeah. But
it's on a high.
His fingers point him in the right direction.
But Germany have a couple of World Cup winners in their team, some Champions League winners, serial winners. So just because of that, I feel that Germany will win this game. It'll be goals in it. Let's give it 2-1 to Germany.
Yeah, I think Germany are going to come, and I think Gareth Southgate will know that. I just wish he would also try and meet them halfway. But again, like Jason said, he's playing not to lose, and I sort of agree with that. But Germany are going to from the whistle, they're going to try and score in the first 5 minutes.
Is Wembley going to be full? How many fans can come in?
Another semi-finals and finals is going to be 60,000. I think it might be 40,000 for the next one. It's going to be full of English fans.
So, yeah, I don't know. I just don't see England taking this. They're going to be very cautious. but Germany are going to want this more, I think.
Where's our other English person on this show who watches from America? Dia, is she gonna where is she? Where is she? She's supposed to say 5-0 to England.
I'm reading what Pums is saying. This is payback for the scandalous loss that happened against.
I remember that.
You know, I watched that game live. I was in that stadium in Bloemfontein, and I'll never forget.
Go over the line.
I was in the other end. I was on the other end, but I'll never forget seeing Gareth Barry chasing. I can't remember which player, but Gareth Barry trying to chase an Oak down the line. I couldn't believe a professional player had an arse that big trying to play. He's playing international football, talking about big bums, booms. I'll never forget that. I was like, this Oak was just chasing shadows that day. And I actually met Harry Redknapp straight after that by chance.
There's Deer right on time. It's coming home.
It's coming home.
Now I think I see a 2-0 win for England. I think they've got enough quality to break the Germans down. And what gives me hope is England are not conceding. So maybe I'm going with my heart here. But I think England will win, and 2-0 is on my mind.
I love that. Rashford, the food guy. He's not playing hungry, so he won't score 3 goals.
Guys, I think this is going to be a tricky one. I don't think we're going to see goals, largely because England don't score goals, or at least not in this tournament. And I think Germany are all over the place, so both teams are going to try and do what they can do and keep tight at the back and go 0-0 all the way to penalties. I say all the way to one pen. Maybe four pens, blue pens, black pens. Red pens.
I think Pickford is not too bad in penalties, I think. Yeah?
Well, England won their last penalty shootout, and they hadn't won one since, I think, the 80s. And Southgate was the one who it was synonymous, because the first time they had lost in that run of losses and penalties was him actually taking the penalty against Germany in Wembley. So it would be slightly awkward if they go to penalties. I think Gareth Southgate will have like live nightmares while he's watching it. So,
and I think he's going to. And I don't think that. I think the Germans. So I'm going to say Germans to win on penalties. That's kind of where I'm getting right there.
I said Portugal will win.
I'm giving you my opinion. I'm not saying it's because I'm nice to you. I mean, I like you, Nick, but I'm just telling you what I think is going to happen. Also, shout out to Dirty Purple for joining us today. Well done.
I do think Belgium will get the win after all of this. I think a 3-1 win for Belgium.
the man just switched his verdict there. Okay, guys, last game we're talking is Sweden versus Ukraine. Let's hear it. This is my other side, Sweden, guys. So be nice, Nick. Now you can be nice, and I'll repay the favor.
I expected better from Ukraine in this tournament, just because I'd watched some of their games before the tournament in the UEFA Nations League. But I think Sweden's going to win this one. They're going to win it 2-1. Forsberg is going to score another goal, and Isak is going to score a goal as well. So yeah. 2-1 to Sweden.
I say 1-0 to Sweden. But however it goes, I think Sweden will take it for sure.
Yeah, I think Sweden are a very hard team to break down. They've got a very pragmatic style of football. They've got big, strong Vikings playing for them. So I think they're going to win 2-0.
Hey, yeah, Louis. What's happening, Louis? Number one in Super Brew, eh? But I'm coming for you, Louis. I'm coming for you, man.
Yeah, no, he's doing all right. I think, Louis, I don't know what kind of stats you're reading every day, but it's helping you out there. But yeah, 1-0 Sweden. And on that note, guys, final thoughts before we go.
Come on, England. Come on, England.
That's quite dry. Everyone else is quiet.
Wait.
It's coming home.
Keep singing, Nick. Come on, sing like you believe it. I don't buy this.
No, but I'm waiting for other guys to say something. Gee,
if they don't want
to
say it, you own it. Come on now. And also, Arjun, why are you saying we put Super Brew's link in the other show? Go check the link. Go see what Super Brew. It's a score predictor. Go check it out. And actually, Louis got us on this trip. So no surprise that he's doing well, because he convinced us to start the league and now he's winning it. So well done, Louis. Well done. So those are my final thoughts. Cyril, what do you want to say there?
Match fixing.
Ah, man. I thought I was going to get the song of It's Coming Home, man. Ah, damn it.
Just watch the England game against Germany and then you'll hear it.
Ah, damn! I was gonna say, Arjun, it's too late to join now. But there was a predictor. Aman and Dia are both on it. But Arjun and Dia, and everyone else who hasn't joined our Discord channel, please join our Discord channel. There's lots of bands in there, lots of fun. You know, we're trying to grow the community so that when you're watching the games, you can watch. We're basically watching the games together. Yes. And it's an extension of the show. So, Claudia, where are they going to find the link?
The bottom in the comments. No, not in the comments. In the bio. So if you go underneath.
In the bio, you'll find the link to the Discord channel. I'm probably the most active person in the Discord channel, talking nonsense and everything.
That's not correct, Silo. I know you think you're the most active, but there's actually in Discord, it keeps track of your levels. When you are active, and I think I'm on the highest level. I think I'm on 11, like level 11. So
you stopped the channel. Obviously, you have to be the highest.
No. If you want to claim the title, you need to be up there. You need to be up there. Come on now.
What level are you on?
I think I'm on level 11. And you know what? We're going to change it. We're going to change those levels to actual footballer names. So when you join our community, you're going to start off an amateur. And the more you engage with the community, you can work your way up to become a professional footballer. That's how we're going to do it in our community.
Okay. Yeah. I'm on level 8. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's a bit bad. I'm
3 below you. It's not coming home. That's what I'm saying. It's not coming home.
No. But yeah. No. Great show as always, and let's see who makes it. And next week we're going to be talking about the Copa America a little bit as well.
Celo, just putting the agenda out there for everyone to know. Thank you, Celo. Yeah.
Have you spoken to admin about this? Hey, we need to have a discussion.
It's my show. It's going to be called my show.
Guys, on three, you guys know how to end off the show. You ready?
Yes.
One, two, three.
Stop it.